that John Dozier is a man who is clearly operating in the faith zone, not the safe zone. What he has done is serving his community and country, locally and currently internationally, is just one component of his life. Hanging in Colombia, a foreign land, you definitely have to be operating in that faith zone. But JD's ability to connect and meet people where they are is his superpower. Listen to how JD shares his story and how it all unfolds. This is Why Not You.
There we go. All right. All right. All right.
I'm joined by my man
JD, John Dozier, in the house. How you doing, boy?
Sir. I'm doing good, D. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome, brother. You are welcome. Hey, man, before we even get started, got to start it off with a quote.
Yes, sir. If you can get through doing the things you hate to do, on the other side is greatness.
Yes, sir.
Your boy, David Goggins. Your boy, David Goggins.
Yes, sir. Goggins, the man himself.
The man himself.
That's a great quote.
That is, isn't it?
That's a great quote.
I mean, how does that resonate with you?
You know what, man? You know, we kind of was talking about it before we pushed record. And I think, you know, Goggins has got it right. It's the little daily battles. You know, it's the little ones. You know, like I was telling you, it's easy for me to do the stuff I like. I won't procrastinate. But it's hard for me to do the stuff I don't like. And then I look up and it's 11:59 and I got to rush through it real quick before the next day comes. And he's right. You just got to do the hard things every single day and you're going to be great.
Man, that is cold.
Yes, sir.
Because it's one of those things that we actually have to do. I mean, you got so many people who procrastinate, right? They're procrastinating for a reason because they don't want to do the things that they need to do.
And I think, D, that, you know, we kind of know what we got to do.
Right.
We kind of know that, you know, OK, I got to go ahead and do this. I got to get this workout in. I got to get this language study in. I got to get this prayer in. You know, I got to call this person. I got to have this tough conversation. And we know we got to do it.
Yep.
But we kind of like afraid to take that step and that leap. Mm-hmm. But here's the kicker. And I think Goggins has got it right. we get down on ourselves because we know what we need to do. We just don't do it. It's terrible. It's terrible. It but you know what? You know what? One step at a time. As long as I got an accountability partner like you, I'll be okay.
Oh, but it's a battle though. You know what I'm saying? It is a straight battle. But I know one thing. That's one of those things that a lot of successful people do. They just they put their head down and they do the things that they don't like to do. Yeah, regardless of how it might make them feel. You're like, hey, once I get it over with, they feeling good.
That's it. My mama used to tell me, just get your homework done, son, so you can go hit outside. She'd tell me all the time, if you get the things done you need to do, you got the whole day.
Yeah.
And nothing's hanging over you. But you know what? Some days I just can't do it, mama. I just can't do it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, man, I know you got the law enforcement background. You got the military background.
Yes,
now you're working with a government agency. Man, how did all this happen?
So, you know what? I met my wife in college my last year, and I was actually going into the Air Force, you know, full time before I met her. And I met Leah. I met my wife and I was like, oh, no, we're not going to the Air Force. We're going to see what happened with this thing right here. We're going to see how far we can take this. So I actually wound up going into the military at first when I retired. And, you know, my wife and I were having a baby and I needed to get a job. I was like, I got to get a job. And I looked online, and back in the day, I'm dating myself. We had monsterjobs.com and Baltimore City Police Department was hired. And I needed benefits. The baby was coming. So I entered into the police department. And I entered into the police department not knowing anything. We just needed some benefits. And, man, I loved it. I loved every minute of it. And I kind of fell in love with service. I kind of fell in love with the idea of protecting and serving without even knowing it was my passion.
Wow.
At all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a few years later, my wife got diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And I needed to get out of the kind of the police department life, get out of kind of the undercover work life. And I went to the military and I entered into DOD And I loved it again. I really enjoyed the passion for service, but on the federal level. Mm-hmm. And while I was in Iraq in 2008, I know we'll kind of chop this down, but just broad strokes, the FBI, the federal government agency, was attached to my unit. And the brothers was like, hey, you know, whenever you get done with your military service, you should come join us. And I thought about it. I talked to the wife about it. And she was like, let's go. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. Let's see what this is about. I know you want to get back into law enforcement. And I know, you know, your time with DOD is kind of expiring. So let's go. And I entered. And brother, here I am. And I love it. Wow. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you're in the military, what kind of, I mean, even with Baltimore, what kind of mm-hmm. mindset did you have to have?
You know what? You know, I entered into the police department when I was young. I was 21 years old. And I grew up in West Philadelphia. But when you on the other side of the law, right, when you actually are the law, it's a different mindset. And you have to have kind of that bravado. You kind of have to have that, like, you know, I'm controlling the streets. You kind of have to have that, like, protect and serve. However, you also have to have some compassion. Mm-hmm. You also have to understand that, like, the same environment that those guys are in, that you grew up in, the only difference between you and them is a couple decisions. That's it. A couple decisions, some blessings from the Lord, but really just one or two decisions away from, you know, being switched. And because of that, you got to have your understanding of law and your understanding of protecting the servant, but you got to have some compassion. And some decency and realize that they're humans and you're there to serve them as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think that compassion piece that you just mentioned, a lot of that is kind of obsolete nowadays. You know what I'm saying? It's not very much of it. But anyways, you know, that's a whole other story.
Yeah, yeah. That's another one.
Yeah.
But I think you hit it on the nose. It's like, you know, I think we are where we are now as far as, you know, race relations and things of that nature, because we don't have a lot of compassion for mm-hmm. people. And I think you've got to, you know, especially if you're in a service like, you know, oriented business or profession, sure, you have a job to do, but you're still dealing with humans.
Mm-hmm.
And those humans have emotions, and you need to understand where they're coming from. Now, there is a difference between, you know, life and limb, and we got all that. But I'm talking about when you're dealing with somebody on a human-to-human level,
right?
They still God's children, brother, and you still got to have compassion for them.
That's right. Regardless, huh?
Period.
Yeah.
Period. You can lock them up. You can do what you got to do to them, but you still got to treat them with respect.
Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, just with being in these mm-hmm. different departments and agencies that you work for, I know leadership is huge, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So can you describe a time where you actually had a good and bad leader and the differences between the two?
Yeah. So I would say the best leader that I have had, that I think is, let me think about that for a sec, because I've had some really, really good ones. And I've had some not so good ones. So the best leader I've had was probably Sergeant Wimmer. He was my sergeant when I was on the drug squad in Baltimore. And he wasn't a commanding presence type of guy. Like, he wasn't one of those guys where you were just like, yes, Sarge, I know you got my back. Like, as a matter of fact, I don't even know if I want you to go through the door with me at all. And let's not even get into a tussle. But what he did bring was like a calming presence. He brought like a peace and a stillness to the unit. And, you know, I mean, do you know how it is? It's in these units, you know, you got to be alpha. You got to be bravado. You're going through these doors. You know, you're dealing with some of the worst of the worst, as we would say, in quotes. And he brought like a, okay, look, let's do our job. Everybody mm-hmm. just relax. And then after we get done, go get something to eat. And I'll be here if you need me. And just mm-hmm. his voice, kind of his presence, he was a really good leader at a time where you had a lot of young guys in Baltimore in one of those violent cities, just trying to do everything, kick in doors and just lock up as many people. He kind of reminded us about the humanity and about going home and about just being still and being peaceful.
Mm.
on my board over here at the Strike Force, one of the things I wrote on there, it's a quote that I wrote in Spanish. It's called Que Estemos Tranquilos. And what that means is, it's just simply like, let's just all relax. Mm-hmm.
Hey, by the way, folks, I forgot this brother knew Spanish just that quick, too. You know, this boy, Mr. Duolingo himself.
I just been really lucky. I've been really blessed and really lucky to be able to be bilingual. That's all. But again, you know, with just, you know, on my board, and when people walk in, I want them to just remind them, just relax. Just, it's okay. You know, we're going to get through it. Like, just chill. So Sarge Wimmer was a good one. Bad one. I mean, I've had some doozies, man. I got one right now that I would say is pretty terrible, but I won't, you know, because I'm still in that unit. I won't talk about that. But I think one of the bad ones was Sergeant Twinkle Toes. And there's a reason why we call him Twinkle Toes, but he was just very selfish. He was not a good leader. He did not know his job. And he was all about how he looked, how it made him look. And what I noticed is he was very self-centered. And when you're self-centered, it's really tough for you to be giving of yourself. And as a leader, you got to give everything.
Yeah.
You got to give it all. And he just wasn't that. So we kind of clashed a lot until he moved on to a different unit. So he was pretty terrible.
Was he? Man.
Yeah. Yeah, he was awful.
So did you learn? So I guess, you know, some of the positive things that you learned from the good ones, are you implementing those kind of those types of leadership skills in your life today?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think if you're around me, I mean, pretty quick, you'll know that it's like, it's not that serious.
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to go ahead and laugh. We're going to joke. I mean, me and you, every time we see each other, we laugh and teeth showing and everything. Because it's just kind of not that serious. There's a time that we got to handle business, but there's a time that, you know, you just have to be lighthearted about everything and not really take yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
But you also got to lead. Mm-hmm. You also have to be giving. You got to be stern sometimes, but under the guise of love is what I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So definitely. And from the bad ones, I've learned too. From the bad ones, I've learned what not to do. Because if your people don't trust you, then, you know, you're not leading anybody. You're just taking a walk by yourself.
Right.
That's it. And they're working because they're getting a check, but they're not trusting you. They're not inviting you over. They're not inviting you on podcasts. They're not inviting you to be a part of who they are outside of, you know what I mean? Outside of their unit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. They got a straight wall up like a straight mask. Right.
Yep. And they're, you know, say a few jokes when you're around, but that's all you get.
That's all you're getting.
That's it. Couple jokes, and then when it's time to go, it's like, all right, see you, deuces. Yeah.
And you know, it's crazy. I saw it was a documentary that came out some years ago. Oh, I think the name of it was The Mask We Live In, or You Live In.
Uh-huh.
And I just remember it kind of started off with the football player, you know, talking about his childhood and what his dad told him what a man was. And how, as a man, you're not supposed to show any type of emotion, how you're not supposed to cry and all this stuff. So he said he took that mindset with him when he was playing football. It was just hard for him to actually express himself. And he said, even though he made it to the pros, you know, a Pro Bowl player, he still struggled like with his identity as a man because of what, you know, this this perception of his that his father laid down for him as far as like what a man is.
Yeah, you crush it. And that's a shame too, D, because that speaks to like a broader issue of, you know, we just have a tough time showing our emotions.
Yeah.
And if I can't show my emotions and be who I am, how can me and you connect? You know, we had a conversation outside of the little store today, and I was pouring my heart out to you to kind of, we were connected.
Right.
And it was one of those things where it was like, D, here's where I am. Even though I got all these good things going, you know, I'm unbalanced right now because of just where I am in life.
Uh-huh.
And if I can't share that with you, then, I mean, I'm no good.
Yeah.
I'm no good. You're like, oh, this brother, he's like a robot. He got everything going on, which is, we're human. It's impossible. And I teach that to my son. I'm like, show your emotions.
Right.
You know, let's not get carried away with it. Handle your business. But, mm-hmm. you know, if you got something going on, let's discuss. Let's dialogue.
Right. Have a little transparency. Be real.
How about that? And, yep. and that's what we miss. We missing, you know, the realness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I don't know if it's a generational thing or if, you know, our parents and grandparents were a little bit more real than we are. Did they go through more things than we did? But I feel like we're missing kind of that connection, that brotherly connection. Even in church, sometimes we're missing that connection because everybody's all dressed up.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's all dressed up. And you're like, man, I'm fighting some demons. I need some help. I need some help. So that was just my opinion.
And that's a whole nother issue with the whole dress up, right? It's more tradition than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know it. You know what it is. And I think when my wife and I were youth pastors, you know, one of the things that we tried to do was, I mean, we had kids coming in, they had problems. We were in Baltimore. These kids had issues. Mm-hmm. And we would just, again, have an atmosphere of love, but we would also tell them, like, look, we're not perfect. And if you need some help or something, somebody to talk to them. Yeah. Let's talk. Mm-hmm. And these kids would come in hardcore, and you would get some hardcore kids crying at the altar because you were showing them compassion. They don't know anything from Jacob to Joseph. They had no idea who these people were, but they knew that they can get a hug from
mm-hmm.
compassion.
So what were some of the ways that you guys, you know, connected with some of these youth?
We went out and ate with them.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to them. We was 24 hours. I mean, you know this too, because, you know, when you dedicate your life to service of anything, I mean, it's 24 hours, 7 days a week. It's not Monday through Friday.
Right.
8 to 5, 8 to 4. So we took them out. We brought them over. We traveled with them to conferences. We listened to them. My wife was really good at crying with them and praying with them. Mm-hmm. I instilled a little bit more discipline because they were a little rough around the edges.
Yeah.
So you had to have that balance. But I would cry with them too.
Mm-hmm.
And I would share my story growing up with them and let them know that nobody's perfect and create an atmosphere where they felt safe.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. Like your platform you got now mm-hmm. is an atmosphere where we can kind of share and be safe.
Right.
And you're going to publicize this, but that's fine because you have that composure where we're like, you know, I want to share everything. And that's what we did with them.
Right. And that's one of the biggest things that I've noticed is when you start adding value to people, and let them know that, hey, man, you are a human being just like myself. Mm-hmm. Just because I have such and such and you may not does not mean I'm better than you, because we're all equal, right, in God's eyes.
Correct.
So,
Correct.
And I think that's where some people actually, they I don't know. It's just a bad perception that I think people have.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, maybe because, like I was telling you earlier today, it's like, you know, we had been wanting to do this now for a couple of weeks. And I just was telling, I was feeling bad. I was like, you know, I want to get on this. I want to get this done. I want to just really share with this brother, but I don't want him to be thinking of, you know, that I don't want to do it. Just putting all these things out there. And it was like, well, that's not really what you're thinking. That's my junk.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of times when people meet us, they may be like, oh, well, those brothers don't understand what we're going through. Yeah. We do. And sometimes our demons or our devils or what we got to fight is a little bit bigger because we have a lot more. Right. And the Lord has blessed us with a lot more. Our burden is a little bit heavier.
Mm, yeah.
And kind of sharing that, I think, helps these people.
Absolutely. Because I know, like, you know, as a man or just as a leader in general, but let's just say as men, though, you know, we have this perception where, like that word that you mentioned earlier, a certain bravado.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of gets in the way of us, you know, really asking for help. Right. So.
Yeah. And we see it, D, in our profession, we see it mm-hmm. more than we should, because, you know, a lot of guys carry around these muscles and they carry around sort of this bravado. And you're like, at my age now, I think I'm better to see through it
mm-hmm.
and kind of connect on who I am. And then you start seeing walls come down. You start right. seeing, like, the strongest guys, their walls start coming down, and they really start sitting down and talking to you like, well, let me tell you what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
And you see those guys on the street, you would never know that they are, you know, sensitive or struggling
mm-hmm.
in any way, shape, or form. That's why it's good to have a person like you where we work. and what we and doing what we do, because you bring that calming presence that a lot of people don't bring. And that what I would say that we all got integrity, but you bring that genuineness that I think a lot of brothers, a lot of men don't bring, because they're afraid that genuine to them means vulnerable, and vulnerable to them means weak. No, that just means we're human.
Right.
Period. So
thank you for that, by the way.
No, man. No, Senor? Man. look at you. I'm going to get you speaking Spanish before this thing is over.
For real. I'll be over there saying, como se llama, when I'm supposed to be saying buenos dias.
No, man. I told you, you and wife, you can come over anytime you want to Colombia. Come on. We'll show you. My wife and I will show you a good time.
That's right.
I'll translate for you. I'll do the whole 9 yards. You ain't got to worry about it. You in good hands. You in good hands.
Right on. Can you just kind of identify or share a time when you had to connect and add value to like team members or, you know, some of the people that you end up having to supervise and manage?
Easy is my current job now. Not the one here where we at in Sactown, but in Bogota, Colombia. My supervisor left. He got promoted and I was in charge. But prior to me getting there, because we work with the Colombians a lot, we work with them pretty much every day. And for the first 3 months, I noticed, I was like, you know, there's just a wall between us and them. We work with them every day. We go out to eat with them every day. But there's just a wall between, a barrier between their lives and my and ours. And I let it go on for about 3 months. And then finally, I invited them all over my house, every single one of them, all 40 of them. I invited them over. They looked at me like I was crazy. And it took maybe 3 months, three more months for them to accept my invitation to come over to my house, because the barrier between us and them was so deep and thick, and I knew it and I could see it. We travel with them. We do ops with them. We do life with them. And then when it's 7, 8 o'clock at night, we don't do no more life with them unless there's an emergency.
Wow.
So I invited them over for a barbecue. And I invited them over. And what I saw was the walls come down. They started inviting my family to fincas, you know, farms, just to go stay the weekend with them. Their wives would talk to my wives. You know, their husband would talk to me if there was a female officer we were working with. And we started doing life together. Mm. And an interesting thing happened. One of the team members who died, he got killed, Jimmy, in February. Him and I became like brothers, And he told me one day, he said, you know, the little thing he said to me was, we needed somebody like you to change the group, because now we all are truly a family. Wow. And he said this before he left, before he died. He died in February. He got shot on an op in a tough part of Colombia. And that meant the world to me, because that made me realize that I'm on the right path with this leadership journey of being genuine of who I am.
Yeah.
I think being genuine. Now we have 40 team members and all of them come over. While I was here in Sactown, they invited my wife to a party. She went to the party, took pictures, you know, FaceTimed me while they were there. And the barrier has come down. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't, you don't really think of it as traditional leadership, because we got so many principles, levels, words, books, et cetera, but it's really just being, you know what I mean? But it's really just being human and being genuine and accepting people for who they are and them accepting you. And then you start doing life together. And now you guys are on the same page and they're actually following you and you don't know that.
Wow. Yeah. That's deep, huh?
I don't know that I would have been able to do that 5 years ago. I don't know that I was as secure in me or really believed in, let me try this and see what happens. I think I would have kind of second guessed myself. But at this stage, I'm like, well, let's go ahead and do it. What's the worst thing that can happen? Mm-hmm. 3 months, brother. 3 months. It was like getting turned down for a date. 3 months. Wow. And then finally they all came over and we, 3 months. And they came over. Uh-huh. And this, the rest is history.
And I totally get that, what you just said about, I couldn't see myself like doing this like 5 years ago. Uh-huh. I think everything's, it's part of your season, right? It's the season that you need to go out and just kind of step out on faith. Because I've had the same kind of issues where I know what I want to do, but that belief, or maybe there's a little bit of insecurity or uncertainty, just kind of is hindering my progress at this time. I'm like, man, just go do it already. And then
get over it.
For real, just get over it. So it's almost like sharing a vision, like with what I wanted to do it. Why not you? I think it had this been on my radar like 5 years ago, and I wanted to share it, I probably wouldn't have shared it, because I would have been like, man, somebody gonna steal my idea. Hey, you know what, man, there are so many people doing stuff. I'll be able to reach a segment of the population that some other people wouldn't connect with. And they're gonna reach a segment that I can't connect with. We need to get together sometime and just collaborate. You know what I'm saying?
100%. You said it. It's the insecurity that kind of gets in the way. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if we're talking about leadership, you know, the first principle of leadership is self-leadership. And we really got to, like, you know, lead ourselves, but also get out of our own way.
Right.
We got to get out of our own way, doctor. And a lot of times we're in our own way. The Lord gives us a you know, something. We got to roll with it. Mm-hmm. We got to go ahead and do it. And I'm glad you asked me, right? You text me and you was like, hey, you know, I want to ask you a question, et cetera, et cetera. And you saw how excited I was. I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, really? Yes. Let's do this. Yeah, I'm a believer. Absolutely. You know, it took us a couple of weeks, but, you know, here we are. Let's get this done.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure. And I love the concept. Why not you? I love it. Mm-hmm. To me, it hit me in the gut when you said it. I'm like, oof, man. Back to Jimmy. Jimmy said something. What he said to me was, I gave a speech to my Colombian counterparts, and I never forget. He got up and walked to the window, and he normally we joke with each other. And after I got done, I came down off the platform and I went to go talk to him. And I thought he was going to tell me some joke about how I said something wrong or pronounced something crazy. And exactly what he said was, I said, you know, I was like, how did I do? And he said his exact words, and then I'll translate it for you. He said, alguien como tú. He said, nosotros necesitamos escuchar este discurso de alguien como tú. We needed to hear this speech from somebody like you. And what stuck with me was alguien como tú. Somebody like you needs to do this so we can hear this and then go about our business. And it struck a chord with me because it's like, he's right. Like, I need to, you know, I need to take that mantle. Mm-hmm. I need to do my thing in my realm and stop, you know, kind of messing around with this thing, because, you know, everything rises and falls with leadership, and I got to get going. I got to lead.
Man, you over there building bridges, making that connection.
And it's been fantastic, brother. Mm-hmm. It's been, I could definitely see the Lord's hand in this entire thing. It's been so easy. It's been difficult. We've lost, you know, like Jimmy, we lost him. We've lost some things, but just the building of the bridge between my culture and their culture, and doing things what I feel like the Lord's work, not the casework or the investigative part, just to be near to reach across the aisle, literally.
Right.
And have brothers and sisters that I didn't even grow up with. They didn't even speak my language, my mm-hmm. native language.
Yeah.
It's been amazing. It's been amazing.
That's a lot to take in, boy.
Sorry, man. Sorry.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, when you have stuff like that just happens to you, you got people like sharing and just kind of pouring out to you. It's like, man, I might, you know, continue doing what I'm doing. But at the same time, you know, just start working on myself on a whole nother level, right?
Yes. Yes.
So with that said, when did you actually notice that, dude, I just need to step out and invest in myself a little bit more and grow personally so I could reach another level of success?
2016 was the exact year. I finished my work. I finished a case. And it was pretty successful. It was really successful. And I started to really see the fruits of my labor. I started this journey in 2001. And in 2016, and we're talking 15 years plus, I started to, you know, have some success, and I started to get kind of recognized. But I also realized that there was a lid, like I couldn't go to the next level. I couldn't do things on an international scale or broader scale. So instead of pushing, you know, banging my head up against the wall and kind of doing the same thing, it was scary, but I actually stopped what I was doing, took a reset, and went to Guatemala. And I went to Guatemala for nothing more and nothing less, but to be able to communicate with the people that I wanted to reach and help. And I was kind of out of the game. So for the first month or so, you know what I mean? I was like, it was kind of scary. You know, life's passing me by. Guys are doing their thing, getting promoted, kind of doing their thing. And here I am, you know, in the books, 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours a day. Like, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. And that's when I made the conscious effort that I need to be able to reach people in their language. Because I have all these skills that I've built, but I can only reach really one subset. But I need to be able to reach, do my job in a different language, but also be able to reach them with our natural personality.
Right.
And the only way to do that is I got to go where they at. Right. I got to go where they at, doctor, and I got to kind of study what they study. And that 3 months in 2017, I left in 2017, changed my life. Changed my life. I mean, hands down. I mean, it's not even close. The guy that I was before I left for Guatemala, I left for Guatemala in 2017, but I made the decision in 2016, but I had to get the proper approvals and all that jazz. Once I got those approvals, I almost didn't go. This is an interesting story. I almost didn't go. There were some things that happened in my personal life with my relationships that I almost was like, I'm not even going to go.
Yeah.
So I postponed it. I postponed it. And then finally, I was like, I was almost forced to go because I needed to kind of mentally check out of what was happening in the States and go. And it was those books that actually kept me focused. And brother, I'm not looking back. I'm telling you right now, I'm not looking back.
I heard that.
It's no way. No way. I can reach a whole different set of people.
I think one of the key things that you said when you're talking about this was that you end up going where they are. You got to meet people where they are. You have to. That's the only way you're going to connect.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Think about I would consider him the greatest apostle in the Apostle Paul, in my opinion. And his story was interesting, too, because he wasn't even like he didn't hang out with Jesus at all. Like, he wasn't even in the in crowd. And this brother just was like, you know what? I'm going to go do my thing and build these churches and build these platforms where they are.
Right.
And I think that's the thing is we got to get outside of our comfort zone and go to where they are because they're not coming to us.
Yeah.
We got to go to them. And it's scary. It's scary. It's scary.
There's a whole nother level of faith, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where you like, I could literally fail and I'm going to look like a fool. Well, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. We got to go. And that's the, just the journey that I'm on.
Yeah.
I'm on that journey. Yeah.
So right now, do you have is your association or your network pretty tight? The people that you actually have like support group or accountability group?
My accountability group starts with me and my wife and the kids, like that nucleus of us. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of I have two different type of accountability groups. I have sort of my English accountability group and I have my Spanish accountability group. And I would say my Spanish accountability group is probably a lot stronger than my English. And the reason why is because they're more direct in telling me they're more direct in telling me when I'm screwed up. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate kind of the love, the camaraderie, the correction and just the genuine interest in me being better as a person.
Yeah.
And I appreciate, and it actually makes me a better human on the English side because I can get checked easily on the Spanish side. I mean, quickly.
Yeah.
With no reservation or anything. And it just makes me a better human.
That's right.
Yeah. And it hurts sometimes when I'm getting checked, but it is what it is.
You feel like a kid again, huh?
With the family. I do feel like a kid again, and ain't nothing I can do about it because it is what it is. I mean, that's mm-hmm. what I signed up for.
That's right.
I signed up to work with them, and their standard is pretty high.
Uh-huh.
And we got to make it happen. What can I do?
I know, right? Just take it. All they want to do is help you grow anyway. That's part of development. That's part of growth.
And it hurts. It hurts. growing ain't easy.
It's not. You know, these kids have it good to go. They're good to go right now.
Oh,
I know.
Tell me about it. They're going to be okay. They're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. We was, you know, who we are now is not who we were.
Right.
And who we're going to be is not, we're not even close.
Nope. Who you not tell?
I think I love my wife better now
mm-hmm.
than I did when we was 22 and 23.
Wow.
And it's just because I'm better.
Right.
I'm different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all the silliness and all the insecurity, all of the arrogance, all of the nonsense, you know, not saying it's not there. I think I'm just better.
Yeah.
And I don't have time for it.
That's right.
So, that's what it is.
Right. You know, I think there comes a time in your life. I mean, when you just realize, man, I just need to stop being a baby and I just need to grow. But I tell you what, at the age where I'm at now, also, I got the line in the sand where I pick and choose who I'm gonna tolerate or what I'm gonna tolerate. You know what I'm saying?
you know what? But let's take it one step further. It's like what I was telling you earlier. I think I'm so hard on myself
mm-hmm.
that that line, like for instance, my line in the sand for you, what I would call my red line, is a lot longer and a lot deeper than that line I got for myself.
Mm.
That silliness that I won't even tolerate some silliness in myself that I would generally tolerate, just use you as an example, in you.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could bring silliness to me and I would tolerate it. But for me, zero. Having said that, sometimes I get in my spirit where I'm just like, yeah, I'm not going to go ahead and fool this brother, this sister right here. We're going to go ahead and just shut this down. Yeah. And I'll shut it down. I mean, I we're done with it.
Right.
You could be having a whole conversation with somebody and I would just be like, won't say anything, won't mm-hmm. do anything, won't participate, because I can kind of discern what I have time for and where I should give my energy
right.
and where I don't have time for.
Mm-hmm. Can you just share with the folks, the people out there listening and Spotify land, Alpha land,
yes, sir.
What kind of resources or books that you've read in the past or currently reading that's actually helped you?
The Bible is number one. Mm-hmm. The Bible is number one. It sounds corny, but it is not. I mean, when I got into church, because I didn't grow up in church, my wife grew up in church. And when I met her, it was like, you know, I want to be with this sister. So let me go ahead and get in church. So I got baptized, you know, filled with the Holy Ghost and all that good stuff. And I was like, whoa, this thing is okay. This thing is, you know, just, I was like, wow, this is, I kind of like what's happening here. I didn't know people was walking around feeling this good about themselves. The first book that I read, the first book of the Bible was Acts.
Mm.
And it changed me completely. I mean, I read Acts, fell in love with Paul and just his story. Cause I was like, wait, this brother was on the outside
mm-hmm.
kind of doing his thing, but everything he did, all his studies where he grew up, allowed him, because he was so smart,
right,
to be able to reason with the people that need to be reasoned with, Mm-hmm. And his background allowed him to places that, you know, some of the regular apostles couldn't go to because right. of who he was and who he is. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm not the Apostle Paul, but I kind of identify with this brother. Like, he was kind of a skeptic. It changed me. The Bible, the New Testament itself changed me. And then from there, I started graduating to, you can't really graduate from the Bible, but just, you know, flow with me.
Right.
I started graduating to John Maxwell
mm-hmm.
and the 21 laws of irrefutable leadership crushed me. It killed me because it was like, whoa, this dude built his entire life off leadership mm-hmm. and everything rises and falls with leadership. So brother, I dove into every John Maxwell book that you could, you know, Today Matters. Like it just, you think about any book that he's got, any podcast, and I just dove headfirst into it.
Yeah.
Fast forward to where we are now. I'm reading Goggins' book, You Can't Hurt Me. No me puedes lastimar. I'm reading it in Spanish, like I told uh-huh. you. And it just kind of is challenging me now because I fell into kind of some complacency where I've kind of made it.
Yeah.
And now reading his book, I'm being challenged to kind of better myself because who am I to stay here? I got to keep growing so that way I can help more people. That's the key.
Right.
That's what has helped me. That's the evolution right there. First, I was reading all these leadership books so I could be a level 5 leader. Uh-huh. I could lead up and I could do all these things and I could, you know, be this great person. And now I'm reading all these books, studying these languages so that I can help more people.
Wow.
And that's where I'm at now.
That's dope.
You know what I mean? And, yep. and it was a transition from arrogance to overly cocky, overly confident. I want to read the Bible, study the Bible so that way I can get to this whole dissertation.
Yeah.
This debate with somebody. And now it's more like, well, now I know it.
Mm-hmm.
But now I need to use it so I can help my people.
Right.
While I'm helping myself.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's growth and maturity right there.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've seen it kind of when I showed up. You know, you know about where we are better uh-huh. than I do. But kind of when I showed up, I kind of tried to bring sort of like a calmingness and like, how can I help?
Right.
To where we are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think some of the guys have told me that it has helped. Obviously, it's a short time because I'm leaving Friday to go back to Bogota. But it's just kind of being, you know, that still voice for people, kind of like peace. Maybe it may mm-hmm. be a short time, but just, you know, hey, everything's not that serious.
Right.
How can I help?
Exactly.
Let me help. And some people look at you like this, like you're crazy, like yeah. what's your angle?
Right, because they're not used to it.
And some people are just like, man, this brother's all right. Like, yeah. What's the story? What's up with him? Why he's so calm?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I had to go through the storm first before I could get caught.
Yeah. They like, is this brother wearing a wire? Is he trying to set me up?
This brother internal affairs or what? So what's the story? Why you coming in here all smiling, all them teeth? What's wrong with you? Why are you even here?
Yeah.
What's your angle? But that's the world we live in where everybody's skeptical when you actually just trying to help.
Exactly.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
We're here.
Yeah. So at this phase in your life, how mm-hmm. would you describe success?
Being around the ones you love and helping them to achieve what they need to achieve. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Being a good person. And what does that mean? That means adding value and not for selfish gain. I don't want D to be like, well, that brother's all right, so I can feel good about me.
Yeah.
I want to add value to you so that we can grow together.
Mm-hmm.
We can, you know, make this world a better place. It sounds, you know, idealistic, but I do really believe in a better world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as long as I'm a better person, as long as I'm leading myself, as long as I'm trying to add value and kind of do what I was put on this earth to do, which is to just help you, I will define it as success.
Yeah.
I don't define monetary. I don't have any monetary success, I just want to be the best leader I can and the most authentic, genuine leader I can. Mm-hmm. And those who want to, this is a key, those who want to be helped and come with me, we can grow together.
That's right.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's success. That's success. This right here lets me know I'm on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
Because a brother who's on the other side of the world thought that I was worthy enough to be on his podcast. And it's probably, if I know you well enough to know, it's because you feel like we're like-minded, which lets me know that I'm giving off the vibe that I want to give off, because that's what I'm receiving from you.
Right.
Is the vibe of like, wait a minute, this dude's my brother. And not just because of how we look. Sure, that helps where we are, but it's, I'm not connecting with everybody who looked like me that way.
Right.
I'm just not. So success in the long run is just adding value.
Yeah.
Adding value.
That's what it's all about.
That's it.
We got some good nuggets on this one.
I hope so, brother. I hope so, brother. I hope this is not the last time.
It won't be. So, but, you know, before we wrap it up, you got to share some words of wisdom or, you know, just some insight with those people who have ideas and dreams and they're just kind of in a place right now where they're just kind of stagnant. They just don't know what to do or that next step to get them going.
Number one, have faith and just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Have that faith that whatever you're feeling in you, it needs to come out because we need it. If you want to do something, do it. It's going to be scary. It's going to be nerve-wracking. You may fail, but you'll feel better as you move forward.
Yeah.
Do it. And have faith. Have faith. And you'll connect with somebody. Let's get it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Off the hook. Thank you, Brother JD, for joining.
You know what I mean? Thank you. Thank you. It's all love, man. And if I don't see you before I leave, thank you for everything you've done for me personally, listening to me today. And you a good brother. And whatever you need, you know, you got you a brother wherever I'm at. That's right.
Absolutely.
I salute you, my brother.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of Why Not You with Mr. John Dozier. JD, I appreciate his time and his willingness to come on Why Not You and just share his faith, his commitment to meeting people where they are, and his love for humanity. Hey, next week I will be joined by Daryl Jones. Daryl Jones is a friend of mine, and he is doing tremendous things. He's a former baseball player, and this is an episode you do not want to miss as he talks about transitioning from majors to civilian lifestyle, but also having a foundation in place where he's operating his systems and discipline that were instilled in him by his mother. Now you all have a blessed week. And remember, continue to work on being the best version of you. This is D. Wells signing off. Have a blessed week.